Hey, welcome to another issue of Mighty Marvel Geeks. I am Mike, your host, and joining me from now on, on a semi-regular basis, is Jarvis. Hey, Jarvis, are you there? Jarvis.
I have indeed been uploaded, sir. We're online and ready.
We're going to cover this week on Mighty Marvel Geeks. We're going to talk about casting call that reveals Ant-Man movie is going to be really, really funny. And we're going to get to know more about the Collector and the Infinity Gems, since we kind of got a sneak peek of that from Thor: The Dark World. We're also going to discuss a little bit more of the new Marvel Studios logo, and what that brings to the table. And just to end that, we're going to discuss is the casting of Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver in the new upcoming Avengers: Age of Ultron. Also, too, we're going to do a little bit of a brief recap of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Let's go ahead and hit this this news that just broke tonight as we're recording. Official, Elizabeth Olsen and Aaron Taylor Johnson will be joining the cast of Avengers: Age of Ultron. They will be playing Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch. Now, Taylor Johnson, you might know him from his roles in Dave Lewinsky in, and I apologize for the language, but it just happens to be the title of the movie, in Kick-Ass, in the Kick-Ass franchise, along with his portrayal of a young John Lennon in Nowhere Boy, for which he won an Empire Award for Best Newcomer. Since then, Taylor Johnson has also starred in the critically acclaimed Anna Karenina and was in Savages, directed by Oliver Stone. Since making her big screen debut in 2011 with Silent House and Marcy May Marlene, Elizabeth Olsen has garnered a number of awards and nominations. She has gone on to star with the likes of Robert De Niro, Sigourney Weaver in Red Lights, Josh Brolin and Samuel L. Jackson in Spike Lee's Old Boy. Two of them also will be sharing the screen as leads in the highly anticipated Godzilla remake scheduled in May of 2014. Age of Ultron will be bringing the biggest heroes in the Marvel Universe together to face one of their biggest villains. Joss Whedon is returning to write and direct sequel, and so this is good news there. So, new casting, and who knows, maybe it's going to tease the Coulson scenario, Edie. If Eric and I, before he moved on to new ventures, we kind of tossed the idea that maybe it was the Scarlet Witch that was in Tahiti and helped revive Coulson, and that's why he keeps saying Tahiti is so magical, because of Scarlet Witch's use of magic. So maybe that's the loose end tie there. Hopefully this plays out towards that way. Maybe they will introduce Olsen into Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Maybe by the end of the season, maybe next season. I still think no matter how the ratings slowly drop, ABC is going to keep the show going until Age of Ultron comes out, because it's going to help bridge that gap and help carry the movies during some of the long periods of time between movies. It helps keep the interest going. What? Hey, Jarvis, can you do me a favor, please? Can you help me get into our files for this week's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? into the dossiers, if you will.
You are not authorized to access this area.
Whoa. I was told we had clearance. Let's try again, please, Jarvis.
For you, sir, anything.
And where do we stand?
Level 7 access.
We got it. So let's talk a little Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. This week's episode starts off with a woman who we find out is a safety manager at a particle accelerator plant. And the particle accelerator they were working on exploded and ended up, as we discover, opening a portal, so to speak. And this Mr. Ford, I can't remember his first name right offhand, gets caught in it. Well, we come to find out he has a thing for the safety director or the safety person involved on this project, and that he had been loosening bolts off and on, getting her to come. And so when he reports it, she has to come check it out, make sure to think everything's okay, because he enjoys her company and kind of has a thing for her. Well, everyone thinks she's a telekinetic. The townspeople accuse her of killing everyone because there were 4 killed at the lab. And strange things start happening because Ford is protecting her and is kind of... I guess the best way to put it, it's a little slow, but he everything's all in good intentions. He's trying to protect her, so he doesn't know any better. And finally, at the end, if you remember watching on WDW After Dark, where they talk about the different superhero battles, they did one that was Scorpion versus the White Ranger. This battle with Ford and Agent May kind of reminded me a little bit of that battle, since the Scorpion they used in that was the undead Scorpion from Mortal Kombat, and had the ability to disappear and reappear at will. Ford has that same type of ability, you know, because essentially he's going back and forth between a couple different planes. And it made the fight very interesting at the end. I really enjoyed the fight. I enjoyed how Fitz and Simmons tried to pull pranks on Sky. And they got caught up in some of their own pranks at the end. We learned a little bit more of the backstory behind May. And what went on there. The whole thing with May, that, you know, to start off the show, even, you know, with them, to find out she and Ward are hooking up, I'll admit, I didn't see that one coming. And for them to play it off at the end, and then the prank that she gets Fitz with, almost with the shaving cream, giving him a phantom-like mask with the shaving cream, was brilliant. I saw more character development with May this week. The show itself, overall, I thought it was still a little slow. I kind of wish they'd pick up the pace a little bit. I know they're catering to a lot of the non-Marvel fans, comic book fans, but you know, today's society, you could pick it up some. It's not something that you could ease back. I mean, at this point in time, we're 8-9 episodes, or anywhere between 7-9 episodes in. Pick up the pace a little bit. It's okay. I'm hoping future episodes are gonna pick up. So here's to hoping things pick up, and then we'll we'll give the next report on S.H.I.E.L.D., Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in 2 weeks, because there is no show next week on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., so we won't, we might talk about a brief teaser of what's coming, but we're not going to do a full show review next week, since there is no show. Marvel, okay, I gotta profess, I'm more of a DC guy than I am a Marvel guy, but being, an employee at Walt Disney World, or a cast member, is the proper term. And Marvel is owned by Disney. That's part of the reason why this show came about. We're here to talk all things Marvel. And when I say all things Marvel, I'm talking everything under the Disney Marvel umbrella. So, Fantastic Four, probably not. X-Men, probably not. Anything with the X-Men franchise. Anything with the Spider-Man franchise. Movie-wise, now the cartoons, all fair game. So that's a little brief rundown on the, where you'll see the future of the show going. The Marvel, you know, and talking about going forward, those of you who have seen Thor, and even most recently, the most recent episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Marvel introduced the new studio's logo. It's going to have the new fanfare that we played in an earlier issue of the show, which is a great little fanfare. To kind of tie in with Rebel Force Radio, and everyone's complaints, oh, there's no 20th Century Fox fanfare anymore. Well, if Marvel created its own new fanfare, maybe Star Wars will have its own new fanfare as well, and new opener, to replace. Change is good. It's okay. As one who struggles with change myself, as you're probably hearing right now with this show, change is good. It's okay. It is scary, but it's fine. According to Kevin Feige, his quote is, "We designed the very first Marvel logo for the very first Spider-Man film. We used that logo for 11 years, and Thor the Dark World, it felt like a good time to update it, because this is the first film that has that only has the Marvel logo in front of it. You look back at the other films, they also featured our studio partners or distribution partners logo, but now that we are our own entity within the Walt Disney Company, it is only the Marvel logo in front of the movies. So it felt like time to update it and have something that's more substantial as a standalone logo in front of our features." I'm fine with that. I like the twist with the comic book pages flipping as well. And that's what brought some uniqueness to it. The new logo will appear in front of all of the Marvel films from this point on, as well as Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. But in creating the logo, Feige didn't want to break too much from the one the fans have grown to know and love. The key was, everyone loved the old flip logo. We didn't want to reinvent the wheel, but we wanted to make it feel bigger and more substantial, which is why it starts with the flip and then suddenly more dimensional as we go through the lettering. It's almost like the logo is embossing itself as it's breaking through, you know, giving the flip pages more of like an embossed feel, and then fading out into the logo. And then and then giving that, you know, slight metallic sheen before it settles into the white on red. It's also the first time that Marvel Studios has its own fanfare, which we talked about earlier. Something that the new logo feel, makes it the new logo feel more substantial. The favorite part of all this, according to Figgy, is like all great studios need the fanfare, and we never, and Marvel never had that before. With Brian Tyler to compose it, who for this year has done two movies for us, and two of what I believe to be the best scores in any of the Marvel Studios film, with Iron Man 3 and Thor the Dark World. He said he was so, he was thankfully was willing to and happy to create a spectacular standalone fanfare for us. That's coming from Kevin Feige. So, I think that it's very cool that Marvel is putting themselves out there, since they are their own entity within Disney. You know, as we all know with Disney, there's the castle with Tinkerbell flying over. Pixar has Luxo Jr. Now Marvel's got the its flip book with the logo coming through. I think it's a step in the right direction, and hopefully we'll be excited to see what Star Wars presents. And hopefully Jason and Jimmy Mack over on Rebel Force Radio will be able to give us more insight in the future of possible new standalone fanfares for Lucasfilm, since they're their own standalone within the Disney company now themselves. So I think right now is a good time to take a break, enjoy these few messages from our sponsors, and we will see you on the flip side.
Rebel Force Radio,
your source for the Force.
Star Wars news and commentary
with Jason Swank and Jimmy Mack.
I've seen Star Wars 500 times.
Weekly live shows and podcasts.
RFR.
Like Rebel Force Radio on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Rebel Force Radio,
your new source for the Force.
Rebel Force Radio with Jason Swank and Jimmy Mack. Saturdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on Sorcerer Radio. SRSounds.com.
Rebel Force Radio,
your source for the Force.
Star Wars news and commentary
with Jason Swank and Jimmy Mack.
I've seen Star Wars 500 times.
Weekly live shows and podcasts.
RFR.
Like Rebel Force Radio on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Rebel Force Radio,
your new source for the Force.
Rebel Force Radio with Jason Swank and Jimmy Mack. Saturdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on Sorcerer Radio. SRSounds.com.
Hope you're having a great day so far. This is Al John Go, co-host of WDW Tiki Room Fridays on Sorcerer Radio. Have you downloaded our updated Sorcerer Radio mobile app? Version 3.0 is out right now, and you can download it for free on your mobile device, so you can enjoy the magic no matter where you are, even in the Disney parks. Another set of Disney music is queued up and ready to go, so keep it right here on Sorcerer Radio. All Disney music, all day long. SRSounds.com.
Ah, warnings. The most tranquil part of the day, where one can find a peaceful bliss in the stillness of the dawn.
All right, rise and shine, Sleeping Beauty. Come on, hop, hop, hop.
But for those who want a little zippity-doo-dah in their mornings, tune in to Sorcerer Radio weekdays at 8 a.m. Eastern for great original programming you won't hear anywhere else.
Monday!
Hear the most popular songs from the Walt Disney World Resort during the SRN Top 10.
Tuesday!
Get the buzz from around our online communities with the SORCOM Review.
Wednesday!
Enjoy an hour dedicated to the park that started it all during Disneyland Magic.
Thursday!
Stay up to date on the latest Walt Disney World news stories with DW60.
Friday!
Get ready for the weekend with the show about all things Disney, the WDW Tiki Room. So join us Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. Eastern right here on Sorcerer Radio. All Disney music all day long, srsounds.com.
Been busy here in the shop, trying to gather all the news and bring all things Marvel to you guys. Thank you for bearing with me. I know I sound a little rough, but with time, this will improve. So, figure, let's go ahead and hit some comic news real quick. New Comic Book Day is every Wednesday, for those who are not aware. The week of December 7th, you have the Indestructible Hulk Annual. You have Inhumanity, The Amazing Spider-Man number 2, The Avengers 2013 Annual number 1. I know that's going to be on my list, being an Avengers reader. That will be something I'll pick. Marvel Knights, X-Men number 2, and Spider-Man number 3 will come. Captain America, the First Avenger, adaptation number 3. Guardians of the Galaxy 9 coming out for the kids. Hulk, Agents of Smash, the good book tied in with the TV series. That'd be a good one for the kids to pick up. Nova, which is a character from Guardians of the Galaxy that you'll see in the Guardians of the Galaxy movie. Number 11 is coming. Issue 11, Deadpool number 20, The Amazing Spider-Man 700.1, X-Men Legacy number 21, and Young Avengers number 13, Iron Man number 19. Feel free to check these out at your local comic book store and tell the Mighty Marvel Geeks sent you. These are a rundown of a lot of them. I didn't cover everything that's coming out this week on Wednesday, but you can find the total release calendar at Marvel.com. If you can't get to a comic book shop or there's not one close to you, if you've got an Android or an iPhone or a tablet or an iPad, or even a computer, you can always go to Marvel, to their digital comics, or go to Comixology and check out your books there. So, some good titles. I'm a big Avengers person. I was back in the day. I read the Avengers, West Coast Avengers. Right now, West Coast is not available. But if you're into the Avengers, I would recommend Avengers, New Avengers, and Uncanny Avengers. That's stuff to tide you over through the end of the month. So you can almost get a new Avengers issue every week, maybe every other week. So we talked a little bit, or teased a little bit, Ant-Man. And the casting call is revealing that the Ant-Man movie is going to be really, really funny. I'm hoping it is really, really funny, and not like the Great Movie Ride, where that's a ride about movies that's great. Little Disney humor there. We've been hearing for years Edgar Wright's take on Ant-Man is a different piece than the rest of the Marvel Universe. And the reason why is it's apparently going to be really, really funny. According to Paul Rudd, or the fact that Paul Rudd is rumored for the title role, not because of Paul Rudd, but the fact that Paul Rudd is rumored for the title role wasn't a new casting breakdown. Has 6 new characters. What stands out is all the description. They all need to have some comedy chops, from deadpan to edgy. They all better be funny. The casting breakdown is looking for 5 males within the age ranges of 20s to 50s. Hey, Eric, Alan, maybe you and I should try out. Plus an adolescent girl. Who are these characters? It's too vague to make any true guesses now, but we do get a feel that this is what Wright is cooking up, namely something funny. Heck, maybe we could be looking at, maybe Simon Pegg, who had also been rumored for the Ant-Man role. Maybe he'll have another role in this. Wright became a legend with Shaun of the Dead and Scott Pilgrim vs. the World. So you know this was going to stand out. And it could be Marvel's first straight-up action flick. So we'll have to see what happens there. We've talked about Thor. There's the mid-credit scene with the Collector. Let's get to know the Collector. I myself am not that familiar with the Collector since it's been a long while since I've gotten into Marvel. So together we'll grow into Marvel junkies as issues keep coming forward. The Collector, who is he? What's he about? Well, the Collector, the numbering is that there's apparently 6 Infinity Gems, both in the comics. Who is the Collector? Well, the Collector, he was allegedly born billions of years ago on a far-off planet. Tanalir, Tivan, I'm sure I'm not pronouncing it right. If I am, it was a lucky guess. Possessed a near-omnipotent form of energy, a power remortal, and existed as one of the legendary elders of the universe. Tivan's passion centered on obtaining and hoarding rare and unusual items, thus his widely known nickname of the Collector. What brings him to Earth is his hobby of collecting. He began to encounter the planet's superhuman population and their drive to interfere with his collecting. After several skirmishes, the Collector attempted to intervene between the Avengers and the godlike entity Korvac, the latter of whom was brought up about his destruction. Tivan's resurrection came, through a contest between another elder and death. Thus, the Collector continued with his hobby and clashes with Earth heroes and cosmic champions alike. His collection even once included an Infinity Gem, one of the most rare and most unusual items that ever existed in the universe. And what are these Infinity Gems? Well, there's 6 in color. If harnessed, they could exist both on their own and in a symbiotic relationship with each other. If harnessed as a single force, they could quite literally snuff out every star in the universe. The colors of the gems possesses its own singular power. Green for soul, orange for time, purple for space, blue for mind, yellow for reality, red for power. Many, many people have sought their power over the eons, but only a few have managed to keep or control them. The Elder of the Universe once attempted to defeat the planet-devouring Galactus with them, but while the Mad Titan Thanos assembled them into an Infinity Gauntlet, giving him the power quite literally in all life in the universe. But a group of Earth's champions known as the Illuminati separated the gems, and each member hid one in a place unknown to the others. They seemingly destroyed the artifacts unintentionally in an effort to save Earth from complete annihilation. So, be curious to see how this plays out with the Avengers Age of Ultron, coming up. Is there going to be an Infinity Gem there. I'd be curious to see how Guardians of the Galaxy plays out in response to all this. Rumor has it, Avengers 3 could be something related to the Infinity Gauntlet. Which, if that's the case, they're going to have to maybe work out a deal with Sony or Fox for rights to try and cross over Spider-Man and Fantastic Four into this. So we'll have to see how this all plays out. It seems like it's something that will be part of the long-term goal. And maybe it won't be Avengers 3, maybe Avengers 4 or Avengers 5. Since they can't say there's this whole long process with each phase ending quite possibly within Avengers. So, I wanted to bring up some more comics news. An interview with Mark Waid and Chris Samnee, who are at the helm of Marvel Now's Daredevil. And they talk about, and in this interview, which you can find at, they talk a little bit about why they moved Matt Murdock to San Francisco. The question comes up of, why the change? Or what was San Francisco? They asked Mark Waid, what was your personal connection with San Francisco? Mark's response was, actually, other than it's a beautiful city and I've visited it plenty of times and I like it, I don't have a personal connection at this point. But trust me when I say I will be doing my research. I will be traveling there later this year to do some heavy photograph work and on the ground research. They bring up, what about villains? This is from Marvel. What about villains? You've been using new. You've been using classic. Not necessarily Daredevil classic, but Marvel classic. Is that something that's going to continue? And Mark's response, yeah, the two that Chris and I are most excited about getting to are Sandman and Stuntmaster. We love Stuntmaster. The Evel Knievel of villains. The evil Knievel. There's something wild about Daredevil fighting a guy on a motorcycle that I just really love. Chris chimes in, I like all of the hokey Silver Age villains. Mark has a lot of talent for making them the most outlandish, goofy villain into a genuine threat. I think it's fun to see who we can introduce and surprise the Reapers with. I mean, he's a stuntman and a villain. That seems like a really great combination. It will lead to really lots of fun scenes. And then Marvel stuff really gets Mark here. Just to bring this home, Mark, what keeps you going? What's the primary source of joy that you're getting from this book? Mark Waid? Silence. Marvel's reply. Mark is speechless, ladies and gentlemen. Mark's response, it's hard to leave Mark Waid speechless. I have two answers. The first is constant discovery of new ways for Daredevil to use his powers. The second is Chris Samnee. Seriously, just seeing these pages come in. And Marvel's reply, or question of Chris is, how does that make you feel, Chris? Chris Samnee? It makes me feel like blushing. In all seriousness, it's incredible fulfilling. It's incredibly fulfilling to be on a book where I'm not just valued as an artist, but also as a collaborator. I'm very thankful that Mark and I share so many of the same sensibilities and have an easy time collaborating. It feels great. There's more to this story on Marvel's website under comics. Thank you for joining us tonight on Mighty Marvel Geeks on Sorcerer Radio. I am Mike. Follow me on Twitter @MarvelGeeks. Jarvis, you know what to do. If you would, please.
All wrapped up here, sir. Will there be anything else?
Nope, that's it, Jarvis.
This has been a BB Geeks production.